Okay. So, second of our online Facebook Live messages. So we'll see how this one goes. A little bit more smooth. We didn't have communion, so it was a little bit easier to make that happen. But I'm so glad that everybody's here today. And good to see Brother Don Walker. So he tried ever so hard to do all of the online things that we did. And he tried to get into the prayer meeting like twice. And then last week he couldn't find it. But then he joined us for the prayer meeting last week. So that was really cool. Got to spend some time talking with Brother Don. And we're glad he could make it here today. And, you know, those of our friends who are over 75, you know, they do have that risk. So let's do our best to help those folks and remember that. But anyway, these last few weeks, we've been looking at the book of Ezra, and we're going to continue with that. Let me open up the PowerPoint for that. Those of you following online, I hope you'll be able to see the verses, and even those that are here. So I have the name of my message today is When Your Word Is As Good As Gold. And you might think, wow, talking about the children of Israel and some great prophet or king. No, I'm not. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about King Cyrus, the Persian king. He's the man whose word was as good as gold. I talked a little bit about this last week, but the Persian Empire, which became one of the greatest empires of the ancient world. If you remember how the empires went, you had the Babylonian Empire, and the Persians came after the Babylonians and took over. Then later on, you have the Greeks that come in, you have Alexander the Great, and then you have the Romans. And those powerful empires, if you go before the Babylonians, you have the Assyrian Empire, which was very large. But the Persian Empire, as far as the length of that empire, the Romans were able to expand it a little bit more, but we had never seen such an amazing empire. And I believe one of the reasons that it's true is that the Persians, when they would go in and conquer their people, much like the Romans, they would give a bit of autonomy to the people that they conquered. And then they would make agreements with their conquered peoples and say, look, if you guys are loyal to us, we will do this and we will do this and we will do this. And yeah, you guys, we're treating you like slaves right now, but if you do this and this, we will allow you to have some sort of autonomy and you will have some say in what you're doing. Now, I think the Romans went even further with that, but the Persians did this kind of thing. And they did have a great empire. And if anybody slipped up, they were pretty vicious sometimes. So I'm not like talking about this, wow, the greatest empire ever. But they were like that. And when they made a statement, a legal statement or a proclamation, they tried to stick with it as much as possible. They really did. That's a characteristic that should be true of believers. And that's why I'm pointing this thing out. You should be a person of your word as much as possible. It's not always possible. Sometimes you say, I'm going to try and do this. You know, you might say, I'm going to do this for you. I really want to do this for you. And then something happens and things go haywire and you can't do it for you. You know, in business, those of you who have been involved in business, and sometimes you say, I'm going to do this for you. And then you do your best. We need to go out of our way to try and fulfill our word as much as possible. King Cyrus was a person of his word. And that's why I said, when your word is good as gold, and it benefited the children of Israel. God used King Cyrus and these other kings. And in today's readings, we're going to read about Darius, who was this king 40, 50 years later. And the law of the Medes and the Persians continues on. So let's take a look. If you remember last week in chapter 4, we were at a kind of a bad time for the children of Israel, weren't we? Verse 23, then was the king of Artaxerxes. Let me move this just over just a little bit so it's not blocking. King Artaxerxes' letter was read before Rehum and Shimshai, the scribe and their associates. They went in haste to the Jews of Jerusalem and by force and power made them cease. Then the work on the house of God that is in Jerusalem stopped, and it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. That's where we are right now. Children of Israel, they've been given given permission to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple and do a lot of really great things in their city where they worship their God. Cyrus allowed them to go back, and he made mention of how you're going to be able to go back and worship God like you wanted to. And when the city of Jerusalem was taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar, he went into the temple, and you know, they had all these amazing goblets and candlesticks and all of these things when they worship were part of the worship of the Lord, and all these very expensive golden things that were very ornate and beautiful. And they made them in honor to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying that's what we have to do, but I'm just saying that's part of the worship of the Jews at that time. And Cyrus said, look, go in and take all those captive golden goblets and candlesticks and objects. Bring them out, and I want the children of Israel to take these back and put them back in their temple. So they were really serious about allowing the children of Israel to go back to the way things were. I don't know why he had this, other than God got a hold of his heart and was moving him in a special way. But if you remember, they went back, they started on rebuilding the temple, and then all of a sudden the people that were around them said, hey, you can't be doing this. You're the children of Israel. You're a bunch of rebels. What are you doing this? You're rebels. And they sent note back to Persia and said, why are you letting them do this? These people, they're a bunch of rebels. They're not loyal to you. Why are you letting them do this? And they got the next Persian king to stop the building of the temple. So things weren't looking really good right now. Chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. The prophets Haggai, Zechariah, you can read through these. In the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, verse 2, and Jeshua, the son of Zodadak, arose and began to rebuild the house of God that is in Jerusalem and the prophets. So they were shut down, and then one day they said, hey, we're just going back to do this. We're right. We have every right to continue because Cyrus gave us that decree. The law of the Medes and the Persians says that deal is still in place. At the same time, Tetanai, the governor of the province beyond the river, and Shethar-Bozanai, and their associates came to them and spoke to them thus, who gave you a decree to build this house and to finish the structure? They also asked them this, what are the names of the men who are building this building? So children of Israel never gave up, as we read in verses 3 through 4. The eye of God was on these elders, these Jews. If we go back to verses 3 and 4, was on them. Of these Jews to never give up. So they continued on with what they were going to do. Look, then the question. So the children of Israel continue building this amazing temple to the Lord. And they were questioned again after they had stopped it once. Is why are you building this? And so now the question over, did Cyrus truly give them the permission to rebuild the temple? That's the big question. Well, the leaders that were researching this out, they were serious in finding the answer to this question. Look at verses 6 through 17. This is the copy of the letter. Be it known, they sent a letter back to the king in Persia. Be it known to the king that we went to the province of Judah to the house of the great God. It is being built with huge stones and timber is laid in the walls. The work goes on diligently and prospers in their hands. Then we asked those elders and spoke to them thus, who gave you a decree to build this house and finish the structure? And this was their reply to us. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we were building the house that was built many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and finished. But because our fathers had angered the God of heaven, he gave them into the hand. Isn't that interesting? They didn't say, oh, because Nebuchadnezzar came and took us. They said, because God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take us, because we were rebellious. We were allowed to be taken captive. So it was a very humble kind of action and discussion here. The Chaldean who destroyed the house have carried away the people to Babylonia. However, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, Cyrus the king made a decree that this house of God should be rebuilt. And the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem and brought into the temple of Babylon, these Cyrus the king took out of the temple of Babylon. They were delivered to one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said to him, take these vessels, go and put them in the temple that is in Jerusalem. Then the Sheshbazzar came and laid the foundations of the house of God that is in Jerusalem. From that time until now, it has been in building and it is not yet finished. Therefore, if it seems good to the king, let search be made in the royal archives there in Babylon to see whether a decree was issued by Cyrus. And let the king send us his pleasure in this matter. What I'm really I'm affected by this. You know, these people, they see the children of Israel building this house. And they just say, what's going on? Why would a king like Cyrus allow the children of Israel to rebuild? Well, we already know that this was God working in Cyrus's heart. So someone from the outside who doesn't believe in God and doesn't really think God's doing anything, they're going to come up on this, why are you rebuilding this house? And remember, they said, you guys are a bunch of rebels. Remember, when you were a nation, you used to fight people. Remember last week I told you, what's the big deal about that? The people complained that they were building the temple. Don't let Israel build the temple. Because when they were a nation, they would defend themselves against their enemies. That was the reason why they said, don't let them build that temple, because then they'll become independent and they'll fight you, you know. Of course, they were a nation. But God moved in the heart of Cyrus and said, look, I'm letting you go back and rebuilding your temple and giving you a bit of independence, even though you're under my empire. I know from this story, the children of Israel were loyal subjects of the Persian Empire at this point. They're not a bunch of rebels. Cyrus never would have done this. I know God worked in his heart, but he looked at the children of Israel and they were loyal to this kingdom. And I just know that's the way it was. And just reading this, they're like, hey, go back and look. It's true. He cared about us, Cyrus did. And somehow, somebody's not keeping up with the law of the Medes and the Persians. So go back and check and find the letter. Find the information about the situation. Hey, what I like about this whole situation is these people are trying to get the facts. Not fake news. Not a bunch of information that means one thing to one person and means the opposite to another. They just want to see the decree. Give us, you know, it's like the amendments of the Constitution. We really hold dear to those. You know, they mean a lot to us, the First Amendment. That's why with all these restrictions, people say, wait a minute, what about freedom of assembly? That's not fake news. That's the Constitution. And that's why people have questions. Don't tear people up because they have questions about these restrictions. Because there is a First Amendment. And everybody can read freedom of assembly. So don't get all upset. There's reasons to back off. There's reasons for churches to say, you know, we see what's going on. We're going to quit meeting together just for a few weeks. And I know there's this guys in Mississippi and North Carolina says, no, we're meeting anyway. Sorry. Don't tell us that. I get that. Because there is a First Amendment. It's there. He just wants the facts. Just find us the decree. What we're doing is right. He was all in on this law of the Medes and the Persians. Just the facts. And then the testimony of the people, of their word. They went on testimony of the Persians. Look what happens. Then Darius the king made a decree. Search was made. He said, okay, there's a document. And the Medes and the Persians, they don't throw their documents out. They were hoarders. They were very organized with the things they did because they believed in the word of the government that you could trust it. Doesn't mean there might have been corruption in some of those kings. But they really, they didn't want like, oh yeah, well, maybe we said that, maybe we didn't. No, laws, we write things down, we put it up in a scroll, we put it in a storage place where it would be safe. They did that. For some reason, it just got forgotten. So in Ecbatana, the citadel that was in the province of Media, a scroll was found in which this was written. They found the scroll. They found the facts. A record. The first year of Cyrus the king issued a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be rebuilt. The place where sacrifices were offered and let its foundations be retained. Its height shall be 60 cubits, and its breadth 60 cubits, with three layers of great stones and one layer of timber. Let the cost be paid from the royal treasury, and also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that is in Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, be restored and brought back to the temple that is in Jerusalem, each to its place. You shall put them in the house of God. That's the facts. The facts are what? This is all true. And then Tatenai and the governor, they hear about it. They go back. They make a decree. A new decree is made. Moreover, I make regarding that you shall do for these elders of the Jews for the rebuilding of the house of God, verse 8. The cost is to be paid to these men in full without delay from the royal revenue, the tribute of the province from beyond the river. Not only did he say, you guys can go back and rebuild it, I'm giving you some money to help you do it. And then he also says, and I'm going to give you, since you're going to go back to the temple where you're going to do sacrifices to the Lord, I'm going to provide for you all you need, because the children of Israel, again, they were captive. They didn't have a lot of stuff. They didn't have farms. They didn't have herds of rams and sheep and bulls, etc. So whatever is needed, he said, I'm going to give you. May the God, in verse 12, excuse me, may the God who has caused his name to dwell there overthrow any king or people who shall put out a hand to alter this or to destroy this house of God that is in Jerusalem. I, Darius, make a decree. Let it be done with all diligence. So the whole thing is restored. Pretty awesome. Children of Israel, they went through this very difficult time. They didn't give up. They had this opposition from these people that were around them. The people that were in opposition tried to stop them, tried to do everything they could to keep them from doing the thing that God and the Persians had set up for them. House to be rebuilt, as I just mentioned. The gold and silver returned. Pretty strong consequences for those who would not support them because they were getting this opposition. Verse 11 and 12. And then the task is finished. We read again, verse 13, the word was sent by Darius, the king, Tatenai, the governor of the province beyond the river. He gave out the orders. We jump down to verse 14, and the elders of the Jews built and prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. They finished their building by decree of the God of Israel, and by decree of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. This house was finished on the third day of the month, so they were able to complete the building of the temple. It was pretty awesome. And then it says, and they brought in the priests. They offered the dedication, 100 bulls, 200 rams. This was just like the old temple sacrifices. They offered it to the Lord, and the Lord was lifted up. They built and prospered. Everything was provided for worship that they needed in verses 16 through 18. And then they went on even further. On the 14th day of the first month of returned exiles, kept the Passover. You know the Passover feast. It was the Passover feast. The Passover. You might be familiar with it. Because the Jews continue to keep the Passover today. Orthodox Jews, they have this amazing time around Easter time where they clean everything. They have this Passover week where they, you know, give thanks to the Lord. They have a great feast, and there's all these elements of the Passover feast. Well, they were able to celebrate once again the Passover. They slaughtered the Passover lamb for all the returned exiles, for their fellow priests, and for themselves. It was eaten by the people of Israel who had returned from exile, and also by everyone who had joined them and separated himself from the uncleanness of the peoples of the land. They kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria to them so that he aided them in the work. So before, the king of Syria, he was trying to stop them. He was one of the detractors. Now he's turned around. This is the testimony. So the Passover is celebrated once again. Even the enemies were impressed by the testimony of God working in the lives of the Persians and the Jews. It was an impressive thing. God did the work. There's a couple things I want you to think about as we look at this message from Ezra. First of all, the thing about being a person of your word, that just is a blessing to people. When you can be that person, say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and just, hey, you're a person of your word. That is a Christian characteristic that all of us should really strive hard to maintain. We can never be perfect every once in a while. You can probably talk to my kids, oh, Dad said he was going to do this and he never got that done. I'm sure it's happened, maybe once, but I don't know. But I really did. I tried to, hey, if I'm going to do this, you know, sometimes I make deals with my kids, you know, like, I don't know if you other parents, you know, kids having a problem with some issue and you say, hey, if you can do this, if you can have victory over this thing, I'm going to give you a reward or I'm going to do something for you. And try to be a person of your word as much as possible. That's a great Christian characteristic. That's a testimony. We see the testimony, not only of the Persians to the Assyrians and all the people that were around them, but we see this testimony to their own people as they were able to get through this time and continued on. The Persians were an example, but the Jews were an example, keeping their word, never giving up, and building this temple to the Lord. You think, what's a big deal about this building? Because we don't make a big thing about buildings. A lot of people have been talking about buildings because they can't meet in their buildings. The Raiders, they're going to meet in that old building? I don't know. All these buildings or churches and their buildings. You know, it's not the building, it's the people. And that's true. But in the Old Testament, the worship they made to God, there were some things that God had to show the greatness of God and to show the loveliness of God. And there were some things that the children of Israel wanted to do to show their love for God. And to build that temple to the Lord was something that meant a lot to them. So we can be challenged by the children of Israel in this as well. And then when they get to the end, we hear about that Passover feast. And you know, the Passover feast, it reminds us. They look back on how God had delivered them from the Egyptians. Remember that. And remember the Passover. That was where one of the curses, one of the plagues of Israel, remember, was the firstborn was taken. And they had to put the blood on the door, and the blood represented that God would pass over them. That's where that word Passover comes from. But for us as believers, the ultimate Passover is Jesus and his blood. Let's never forget that. That's the blood that gave us eternal life. That's the blood of the atonement. And so today, let's remember those things. I'm challenged by the children of Israel. I'm challenged by the word of a Christian. Good as gold. The Persians were an example for us in this. But it should be an example for believers. And then as they celebrated, the celebration of the Passover. And as we come to church and worship, that's what the church comes. We come together on Sunday to remember the work of Jesus. Let's never forget what he's done for us in our lives. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to meet together once again. And we are thankful for the challenge by these men of God from the Old Testament. I'm thinking of these children of Israel and their never give up attitude. You had given them something to do. They had stuck with it till the end. And then they were rewarded as the temple was rebuilt. And then later on, we're going to find out even more greater rewards as they rebuild the city. We're so blessed by that. Lord, we're blessed by a government entity keeping its word, being men, women of their word. That's how a believer should be. That is a Christian characteristic. A faithful person is what we need to emulate. So as we read the story about the law of the Medes and the Persians, may that be the law of Craig. I pray you'd help me to do that and everyone here. Help us to be people, men and women of our word. And also, men and women of Jesus. the work of Christ in our life, which gives us eternal life. Thankful for this time together, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being with us.